1, Proverbs chapter number 31. Amen. Appreciate those songs. Amen. And appreciate Brother Philip being willing to sing those extra ones. Amen. And that last one there, you can take the world. You can have it as long as I can have Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses think they're going to inherit the earth and they can have it. My old pastor used to say, who would want it? Amen. That's what he'd say. That's right. I mean, God's going to burn this thing to a crisp one of these days. Amen. If that's what you want, piece of charcoal, you can have it. I'm glad I'm going to a better place. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to inherit a better country. Amen. And we can rejoice. We can rejoice in that. Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter number 31. And we're looking at verse number 19 is where we're taking up our reading tonight. And we looked last week. We started, we dealt with the first 9 verses together. And those are the not familiar verses of Proverbs 31. They're not dealing with the virtuous woman. But they're instructions to King Lemuel from his mother. I personally believe King Lemuel is probably Solomon. And his mother would have been Bathsheba, if that's the case. And then her major instruction to him is what is well known, and that's this thing about the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman found in verse 10 and runs down through the rest of the chapter? And we looked at those first 9 verses of that, from 10 through 18, and we studied those verse by verse. So we've dealt with those 18 verses, and we've got 13 left tonight by the help of God. I'm going to take half of that. We're going to look at 7 tonight and leave 6 for another time. I wouldn't mind, conglomerating them all together, but I felt like that it'd be better to do this in shorter bites. And so we'll look at these 7 tonight by the help of the Lord. So starting with verse number 19, we'll read down through verse number 26. There's going to be, is that 7? 19, 20, 21? Yeah, that's 7. All right. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, and we'll read it responsibly. The Bible says, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And that's where we'll stop for tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to add the blessing of the reading of his word. Brother Herford, would you lead us in prayer once again, brother? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you, Brother Herford, for that prayer. By the way, I failed to mention this morning, I just let it slip my mind, and then I forgot it again tonight. Brother Herford's cousin, Wayne Lamar, we've been praying for him. He's been on the morning prayer list. He passed away last week, so I want to pray for that family. Thursday, all right. Brother Wayne, he's written some books, came by and give offerings to the station, a faithful listener, and understand. I didn't know. He said he was the treasurer or secretary. Was that secretary, treasurer? I forget. There at Community Baptist. Even back when Brother Herschel Wood was there. So he's been there a good long while. And I probably would have met him even back then, but didn't know it because I preached for Brother Herschel one time back when he was there years ago. But anyway, pray for the Lamar family and of course, the church there, too, with him passing away. All right. In the text before us here, as I said, we're dealing with these characteristics of this woman. He's talking a lot here, really, when you think about it. He's dealing a lot with her care. She's showing her care for her family. Uses the word household. It doesn't say family. Because a household in those days, especially in a king's family, would entail more than just your children and your spouse. You got servants. Maids and servants and different ones, possibly even slaves, but they would care for them in this area. And so it's talking about her about that shows her care. It shows her concern. It shows her diligence. It shows her duty. And it shows her faithfulness. Earlier we talked about the fact that her husband trusts her, and he can, and she'll do him good all the days of her life and all those things. I was talking about her faithfulness in all those matters. It's not just sexual purity. It's not just filial love and marital bliss, but it's talking about how that she's faithful to her God. By the way, that's what virtue is, really. Virtue's not just good qualities you have. It's your relationship with God. Amen. If you got a relationship with God, you'll have some good qualities in your life. Amen. Right? And when people start losing virtue, it's because they got something between them and God. Their relationship with God's not what it should be. Now, tonight we're going to look at this again and these verses and try to glean something that'll help us, and probably won't be here real long tonight, and we'll be able to get on out maybe even before the storm hits, all right? Verse number 19, the Bible says, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now, if I were to ask the question, how many of you ladies have a spindle and a distaff at home? I doubt anybody would raise their hand. Because this is a statement that is dated. Right? Matter of fact, more than likely you'd say, what's a spindle and what's a distaff? Right? It's dealing with sewing, and it's dealing with weaving, and it's dealing with making their own material in that. So, again, it's a dated statement in one aspect, and yet it's very relevant even for us today. Now, we don't make our own fabric like they did. Don't weave our own fabric. We don't make our own yarn and all those things, but that's why we don't have these tools in our home, and we don't have those available to us. But the teaching, although the statement is dated, the teaching is timeless. Amen. Amen. Here's a woman, this is what it's saying about that, a woman that is not afraid of hard work. She's not worried about breaking a nail. She's not worried about chipping the polish. She's not worried about losing a fake eyelash. This is a hard-working woman. Amen. Now, here's the case. If this, and again, you read it, you start out, look back at the first of the chapter 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. So she may be a queen. If this is Bathsheba teaching Solomon, definitely a queen. If this is another woman raised in a prince that becomes king, here's a regal woman. She's got servants to do this kind of stuff. And yet she's not afraid to do it when it needs to be done. That's the point that we got here. Amen. She probably has servants that she could delegate these labors to. Amen. And yet she's not afraid to take it into her own hands and do that work that needs to be done when it needs to be done. Amen. Most women of means, especially in days gone by, had maids and servants, and some do today, by the way, have maids and servants. And they would not take up this hard work, but would rather delegate it to the others. But here's a woman that said that she's willing to put her hands to the work. Amen.
That's right.
In other words, whatever her family needs, she's going to take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. If somebody else don't do it, she's not just going to complain they don't do it. She's going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And so I think that's good. Matter of fact, all through the book of Proverbs, we've been warned against pride and idleness. Amen. I've been working through the Proverbs. I had a man call me back a month or so ago, it was in March, called, and he'd been talking to brother, he just had brother Larry Wells, and he said he'd started studying the book of Proverbs and was going to preach from it, and he asked brother Wells if brother Wells knew some good books or some good teachings from Proverbs, and brother Wells told him he needed to listen to my Sunday night service. That's what he told him. And he said, go online. And so he went online and pulled down some of our sermons, and he found errors in a lot of our sermons that they weren't playing, and different things that's going on. I've talked about Steve. He's got that going. And so I've been going through them, and some of them were mislabeled, and just different things that has happened, that just mistakes have been made. And I'm not throwing them under the bus and fussing about it, but I'm just saying, because of that, I've been going through each one. And I've listed, tonight makes 117 sermons. It takes a while. Some of them's over an hour long. You didn't know I've ever preached over an hour, but I have several times in Proverbs. And I've been going through and trying to, you know, clean some of that up and boost the volume and work it up and maybe speed some things up and take a lot of uhs out of them. Getting some of that out of it. And I'll have to work on this one, matter of fact. But in doing that, I've noticed how that so much is said about laziness.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's a lot said about laziness. You know how much good said about it? Nothing.
That's right.
America, I'll just be honest with you, we look for more days off than days to work.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I would suspect, I don't know how it is now, but I know how it was when I was on the workforce and going in to do, interviews. But a lot of the fellas, they don't want to know. They want to know, first of all, of course, how much they're going to be paid and what's the package? How many days I'm going to get off? How many sick days? Are you planning to be sick? Well, if I get sick days, I'm going to be sick, right? Whether I'm sick or not. Right. They want to know all this. You know why? Because we're raised a generation of lazy folk. Right. Amen. All right. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that. But yeah, get that stirring spoon out. Amen. But seriously, there's a lot said about the sin of idleness and the sin of pride. Here is a woman that's not proud and she's not lazy. Amen. Amen. She's a wise woman. Neither proud nor idle. I believe that humility is a virtue. Amen. And I believe that diligence is a virtue.
Yes, sir.
That would mean then that pride is a vice. That's the opposite of virtue. Matter of fact, look the word virtue up and it'll tell you the antonym, the opposite of virtue is vice. Pride's a vice and laziness is a vice. Amen. Here's a woman that had neither one of those. Amen. And thank God for that. All right. And I read this that it said that in Jewish households, particularly in the time of this writing, that in Jewish households, not only were young men trained to work with their hands, but the young ladies were trained to work with their own hands to produce some income from their home. Boy, I think America ought to take a lesson from that.
Amen.
Amen. One of the failures in our modern society is that young people are allowed to be idle. Amen. And it's the truth. And they get into trouble. That's one of Paul's warnings to Timothy about the younger widows. You remember he warned Timothy about not taking in those younger widows in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Here's what he said, verse 13. He says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. What's that mean? Not staying at home. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And when I wrote that down, I thought somebody's going to say, now the preacher's being sexist. He's saying that women just tattle and run their mouth. That's what that Bible's talking about. That ain't me saying that. That's the Bible said that if they get idle, that's what will happen.
Amen.
Amen. But it ain't just women. It happens to young men too. When they don't have something to do, they get to dealing with things they ain't got no business messing with. Looking at things and listening to things and talking about things, they'd be better off left alone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe that if more young people would learn trades and abilities that they might work from home, I believe it'd help their business and their home. They'd be more profitable in business and they'd be more helpful in their families. Amen. Amen. There is a real danger in today's society of people wasting time on the internet and social media. We've got it easier than we ever have. Right. Back when the Proverbs woman is writing, the virtuous woman writing this, she's a king's wife. But she didn't have hot water unless they built a fire and heated it. She didn't have an electric washing machine, dishwasher. Right. She didn't have an electric vacuum cleaner. Right. All kinds of things that they didn't have and had a lot more difficulties than we have today. But today we've got so many conveniences that it gives us extra time. And what do? We've learned to be idle. And we've learned to go from house to house. And by the way, you don't have to leave your house to go from house to house with social media now. Right. And learn to be tattlers and all that other kind of stuff that goes along. Amen. Rather than loving their family and spending time with their family, a lot of people are consumed with games. I could preach for an hour right there. Games. Even if it's not gambling. Right? Even if it's not these old ball games that's got the cheerleaders. I'm talking about games that's vanity. Really, it is a waste of time. Here's something else. News. Politics. They get so caught up in all that's going on in the world that they, well, how about just information? I love to learn and you ought to be always learning, but I'm telling you there's sometimes you need to learn something about your family. You ought to know something about your wife. You ought to know something about your husband. You ought to know something about your children.
Amen.
You ought to know something about your God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A lot of people stay glued to their device rather than being active and helpful in their home. I'm talking to men and women now. Amen. Maybe you didn't see all that in verse 19, but I saw it right there. This woman layeth her hands to the spindle. That meant she had to lay down her tablet. Can't hold your tablet in your hands if you're going to manage that. Right. She had to lay down the book. She had to, amen, had to set aside what she's watching. She had to pay attention to what's going on. Amen. We can learn from this lady's example. Amen. Here's what we can learn. There are many duties in the home that are never complete. Well, I just sewed. You take these little girls. Well, you could say, I just sewed 2 inches of lace on her fabric coat, but they're growing so tall all of a sudden I need to sew 2 more. Right? And boys do the same thing, although they don't wear lace. Amen right there.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. But my point is this. There's work in the home, a lot of work in the home, that is never completed. And though others may help, we're going to have to do part of it. Amen. We're going to have to do part of it. Amen. So, although there's much work already been done, our homework is never completed, and it is our duty to step up and labor in the home. Amen. Now, I'm convinced a lot of people have this idea. Men in particular, but women can have this too, especially if they punch a clock. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody understands that context. Punching a clock, go to work, a 9-to-5 job or whatever it is, a 6-to-6 job, whatever the case is. They think, well, if I punch a clock and then I've done my day's work. No, when you come home, there's still work to be done. Amen. And one person can't do it all. That's why the two of you come together. Right? Amen. Amen. So there's work to be done. Some people think, well, if I've done that, punch that clock, that's all I got to do. But that's far from the truth. Amen. We'll see in a minute that this woman, though she's a queen, she's up early and up late. Getting the work done. Amen. So here's this virtuous woman. Here's what I want you to notice. She's not one that lays in tanning beds all day. She's not one that frequents the salons and the spas, having her nails done, her hair done, spending extravagant time and attention on her face and her figure and her fashion. She may be a queen, but she's doing manual work with her hands. Even doing menial tasks that others could have done. Now, here's what I want you to notice about this queen. This queen's telling her son. She has warned him, by the way. Look back with me again. Back at the first of the chapter. Let's just start with verse 1 again. I'll read down through verse 3 is where I want you to see. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. By the way, prophecy, she's not telling him the future, but she's telling him holy words. These are important words. All right, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. Son, I'm going to ask you some questions, and here's the answers. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She's going to go on to warn them against wine. She warns them against women, and she warns them against wine. But then she comes right here, and she's telling him, here's the kind of woman you need to look for. An industrious woman. Amen. A woman that's not afraid to work. A woman that's not all about herself. Not all about her looks. Amen. Amen. One of the reasons why motherhood is rejected in today's society is because motherhood causes you to lose that hourglass figure. If you ever had it. Right? And it'll disrupt your bodily proportions. Motherhood does. God calls that a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If, and our society has got the idea that if you don't look like a Hollywood harlot, then you're not beautiful. That's not the opinion of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here's a woman that, though she may be a queen, she's willing to work diligently with her hands. And she is recommending such a wife for her son. Now, if she's going to recommend, son, this is the kind of girl you need to look for, how do you think she's going to raise her daughters? This elder woman is going to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to guide the house. Amen. She's going to teach them these things of being a virtuous woman. I say amen to that. Shame on the mamas that's teaching their daughters to run to the tanning beds and run to the nail salons and run to the... whatever they call that, fixing your hair, whatever. And by the way, I'm not against you getting your hair fixed, but 9 times out of 10, all they want to do is cut it. Amen. And I'll quote Albert Hardin. While I'm there, I'll quote Albert Hardin on that. Albert Hardin said, yep, people all the time say, preacher, how long should a woman's hair be? He said, keep the scissors out of it and you'll find out. Because God's the one who makes it grow.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You say, preacher, how in the world? But that's right there in verse number 19. It's right there in verse number 19. Amen. If this woman would advise her son to look for this kind of woman, then she is going to teach her daughters to be a woman of virtue rather than a woman of vice or rather than a woman of vanity. Amen. We got way too many people given to vice. Amen. All I got to do is name some names. The Kardashians. Everybody, back 10, 20 years, however long it was, everybody's talking about keeping up with the Kardashians. I never have seen that, not interested in seeing it. But I know enough from what I've heard, they ain't nothing but harlots is what they are. And yet everybody thinks, well, that's what we gotta aspire to. Why in the world would you aspire to that? I tell you what to do, instead of aspiring to that, go get you a popsicle stick and ram it down your throat till you puke. That'd be something better to aspire to. Amen. All right. I didn't mean to get on all that. Brother Gray fired me up, I guess. He got me fired up. Verse number 20. Let's look at verse 20. The storm's done hit and I didn't even know it. They said it's a warning from 6 o'clock to 10. All right. Verse number 20. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. Notice verse 19 talks about she's laying her hands. She's got things in her hand to be done. And here she's stretching out her hand and she's reaching forth her hand. Not only is this woman diligent about her household work, she's careful to be tender and helpful to others. She's not gotten hard. She's tender. She's got a tender heart. Amen. Now, Mama may have a broom in her hand, but it ought not be that the kids wonder if she's going to ride it. They ought to know she's trying to clean up, but she's got a tender heart. Amen. She's not going to be mean and hateful. She's got a tender heart, and she stretches forth her hands to the poor and to the needy. Amen. She's helpful and tender towards others. Now, notice that phrase, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor and reacheth forth her hands. This stretching insinuates that she reaches forth at a distance. She goes out of her way to help somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Stretching forth her hand, reaching out in a distance to be helpful to others. She's not only concerned about the needs of her family, my four and no more. She's actually concerned about the needs of others. This word translated stretcheth, that Strong's number 6566. Actually, the phrase she stretcheth out is all one Hebrew word. It means to break apart, like breaking bread and giving it out. It means to disperse. Here's the idea. She breaks her hand open. That's stretching forth your hand. She opens her hand to help the poor and the needy. Amen. She opens her hand wide to give to the poor and needy. So this virtuous woman is not only diligent in her labor, she's diligent in her love. Amen. She's kind, considerate, and courteous. Matter of fact, she's a blessing to all those around her. Amen. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Let me just give you this real quick before I talk about this verse. I read some of the commentators. One of them, he's an expert on Hebrew and Greek, and so he likes to correct the King James Bible. And he says that there in verse 21, clothed with scarlet. It shouldn't be scarlet. It should be purple. And verse number 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Oh, nope. He said that shouldn't be purple. That ought to be scarlet. Now, come on. Why in the world would you call God wrong and say, he said scarlet, he meant purple. And then later he said purple, he meant scarlet. Why in the world would you even believe such a thing as that?
Right.
Amen. Here's what I believe he's talking about in verse 21. And by the way, you can learn things from reading the Hebrew and Greek. I'm not despising that, but I'm just saying, don't go trying to correct the King James Bible. King James Bible is correct.
Amen.
She is not afraid of the snow for her household. This woman is concerned not only about the needs and care of others, but particularly her household. Right. She knows cold weather's coming. She knows that hard times may come, and she is preparing for her household. She makes sure, she's careful, that they are properly clothed for warmth in the wintertime. Amen. Again, I go back to this modern day woman spending all her time, and I go back to that nail salon and tanning salon. There's a lot of women today that are so careful about their own comfort, they never notice the children. This says she don't just care about her own, she notices the children as well. Amen. What a shame, this is in my notes, what a shame it is to see a woman that spent hours painting her face and fixing her hair, only to see their children with unkempt hair and dirty faces. It's a shame. Amen. Now notice, it says this woman is not afraid. You see that? She, the first phrase, is not afraid. That means she's not a worry wart. Cold weather's coming. She don't have to worry about it. She's planning. She's preparing. Amen. It indicates she doesn't worry or fret over it, but rather she prepares for it. Matter of fact, it looks to me like she takes pleasure in preparing for it. She's happy to prepare for it. Amen.
Right.
She takes pleasure in getting coats and stockings ready for the inclement weather that's possible in the winter. She's not a worrier. She's a planner. Amen. Amen. I'll say it. Mothers ought to notice whether the children have on socks in the winter or not. Amen. Ought to notice whether they have coats. Amen. In the winter or not. Yeah. Yeah. All her, by the way, let me just say this. That's part of her duty. It's also part of her virtue. Character. Right. Part of character. I know little kids pull their socks off. I understand they do. But parents put them back on. And tell them, you take them back off, you're going to learn why you don't take them off. Amen. All right. I'm winning a lot of friends and influencing people, ain't I? I'm doing it all without my spoon. It's right here in its holster. Amen. Notice this phrase. I read again. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. This phrase, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. All her household means more than just her children. I alluded to it already. She takes care, make sure her husband has got a coat. Amen. She makes sure that her husband has proper attire for going to work. She makes sure that even the servants, as much as possible, she tries to look out for them. Amen. The fact that they're clothed with scarlet indicates that they're dressed warmly and comfortably. Matter of fact, this is what I read. Brother Steve's got an app. He told me about it, that a place he can look and find out. When the King James Bible was translated, they would write things in the margin that would be other ways that some of these words might have been translated. And a lot of commentators will mention in the margin, it says this, it says that in the margin, that word scarlet, it says double clothing. Two layers of clothing. Right. Isn't that amazing that, I don't know, about 20 years ago or so, they came out and said, you know, one of the best ways to fight hypothermia is to wear layers of clothing. Well, the Bible had it in there 1,500 years before Jesus even came.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So she puts on layers on them. But they're clothed with scarlet. I believe it indicates warmly and comfortably and handsomely clothed. Amen. That's part of her own duty. And then it moves on to her clothing. Look at the next verse, verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now some people say, at least one commentator said, that she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. That coverings is not talking about her clothing, but talking about her bed coverings. That tapestry is not a fabric that you wear, but it's more like either a rug or a blanket is the idea of, or even curtains that would be hung up. I'll say, okay, I can accept that. But especially, then the next part of that verse says her clothing. So it is talking about her clothing as well, is silk and purple. Amen. So, I just put a note here as I started studying this verse. I said, some women will especially like studying this portion of scripture because it deals with beauty and elegance in her clothing. Right. She don't just wear feed sacks if she can do better. By the way, I've never worn feed sacks, but I've known people that wore shirts made out of feed sacks. My mom made me a set of curtains one time when I was a boy. Best curtains I ever had Spider-Man on them. Come from feed sacks. Right. The hog feed had Spider-Man. I like it. It's a good mom said, I'll make you some curtains out of that. Right. But if I'd have been, you know, 50 years older, that mom would have said, I'll make you a shirt out of that maybe. Amen. Although they wouldn't have had Spider-Man. But here's a woman, her clothing is beauty. Her clothing is elegant. You notice that tapestry. I mean, that even sounds like something fancy, don't it? Yeah. But I want you to notice this part of it. Look at verse 22 again. She, what's the next word? Maketh, what's the next word? Herself. Yeah. This woman is not just making, you know, darning socks to keep socks on her kids. This woman's making clothing for herself, and she's doing the best she can do. Right? The idea there is not just all this elegance. It's not that this woman is some big spender. This woman is working diligently with what she's got. By the way, remember, she's a king's mother. Probably a king's wife. Amen. Working diligently to clothe herself with style and beauty. She's not vain, but she wishes to look well for her husband and for her Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You read that verse and you'll notice real quick that her clothing is not the style of today's clothing. I want you to notice it. First thing, verse number 22. She maketh herself, the next word, coverings. She's not leaving parts uncovered. That's the style of today. Uncovered. Yeah, they'll have a dress reach from the neck to the toes that'll have a hole right in the center of the chest or in the belly or a slit up the side to the armpit. Yeah, leaving things uncovered. Right. Here's a woman. She makes sure, and by the way, if you're going to get that kind of stuff, you may have to make them yourself. Amen. Like this woman did, right? Yeah. But she makes herself clothing that covers her, doesn't leave her uncovered. Amen. She is careful to cover herself properly as well as elegantly. Amen. She doesn't dress for display. She dresses for honor. She's careful to cover herself, not wrap herself in some skin-tight garments. Amen. It says it's silk. Silk can be skin tight, clinging kind of material, right? I don't believe she's covering herself. I don't believe she's wearing that is skin tight. Amen. Even though it can be covered, it can be so tight that it is revealing. Amen. And in that manner, it is not virtuous. It's worn incorrectly. Matter of fact, just listen. Nobody in their right mind would ever believe that this virtuous woman we're reading about would be attired in the fashions of a harlotry. Right. Rather, she'd be attired like a holy woman of honor. That's what she is. Amen. Now, verse 22, I said people would like that. This verse is not talking about vanity. It's not talking about pride. I've already went over that. She's not a vain woman. She's not a proud woman. She's a virtuous woman. This verse is not talking about extravagance, living beyond your means. But it is giving us an example of being clean, neat, and tidy. Amen. There is no virtue in trying to look like a harlot, but there's also no virtue in trying to look like a hobo. Amen. Get on these men wearing their britches down. All right. Verse 23. I'm not preaching to the men, I'm preaching to the women. We're right here in the Bible. All right. Talks about a man right here, though. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, her husband is spoken of in relation to her. Did you notice that? It doesn't name her husband. And by the way, King Lemuel is to look for this kind of woman for his bride. So he's not looking for a woman who already has a husband, but a woman that has a mode of thinking about her husband. A woman who wants her husband to be known in the gates. A woman who wants her husband to be honorable.
Right.
Amen. So in dealing with the characteristics and the character of this virtuous woman, we're drawn to notice that her husband holds a place of honor and importance among the elders of the land, that verse says. His position of honor is augmented by the virtue of his wife. We talked about how she took care of the clothing of her children and the clothing of herself. I believe she would take care of his clothing. Amen. I believe that his shirts would be ironed. Can I get a big amen right there? Amen. I believe that his clothing, she would take care of his clothing. Right. As much as she takes care of her own. Amen. And of her children. His clothes would be decent. His clothes would be clean. And his clothes would be appropriate. His attitude would be happy. Cheerful. Because of the happiness in his home. Right. Yeah. He wouldn't have to escape from home to get to go to work. He'd be glad to get to go back home to escape from work. Say amen right there. I believe that's right. So the way it ought to be, by the way, the way it ought to be. Amen. He's sitting in the gates is a man that, and by the way, you know how they would sit in the gates, and that's where their councils would be held. That's where their government was taking place. And so here's a man that has the liberty to look to the needs of others because his wife is so carefully looking to the needs of his own house. Amen. Amen. His wife is taking care of the needs of the home. This virtuous woman is careful to add honor to her husband in all his endeavors. Amen. Some of you remember that, most of you don't, but some of you remember Gerald Ford. Anybody remember when Gerald Ford was president? I remember it. It was before my voting days, but I remember when Gerald Ford was president. Anybody remember his wife? Betty. You know what Betty Ford was famous for? Being a drunk. She was the first, as far as I know, the first president's wife to ever be, I'll say, incarcerated. She, not prison, but in a dry out clinic. And it made news. And it dishonored this presidential man. Dishonored him. Because his wife was such a slush. His wife was such a bad charactered person. Here's a man that he can have a place of honor because he's got an honorable wife. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll look on verse 24. Going back to clothing, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. I said verse 22, a lot of people would zero in on that because it's talking about fanciness and elegance. But they also, some women would really like verse 24, but not only because of her clothing, but because of her entrepreneurship. She's a businesswoman. You see that? She's making clothes for herself. She's making clothes for her children. And it looks like she's even making clothes to sell. Amen. I have heard and read of some that like to point out that this woman was a business person. It's true. She maketh fine linen, by the way, apparently from home, and selleth it. Amen. She doesn't run a store down on Main Street. Amen. She doesn't run a business down in town, but rather she makes her fabric at home and delivers it to the merchant. By the way, obviously allowing the merchant to be the one that actually runs the business end of the transactions. She just supplies the supply and demand. Amen. Now, this idea of her giving it to him to sell doesn't mean that she doesn't have a head for business. That's not what it's talking about. But it is saying that her primary place is in the home. Amen. And working from home. Amen. Her primary place is in the home and working from home. This woman is shown to be practical and shown to be diligent about her home and her family. But she even does extra things. Now here's where I'm going. Think with me on this. If I mentioned about these girls, talk about Ava and Amelia. I could talk about Grace. Amen. These girls and how fast they grow. If you've made them a dress and in 6 months they've outgrown it, I mean, you can only add lace so long. Although I've seen women with dresses about here that was sheer lace, but they said, oh, it's long. Yeah, but you can see through it. It's still inappropriate. All right. But after they've outgrown it, what do you do with it? Well, you can sell it. Or pass it down to others. Amen. I'm not just saying that's all that she has. She may have, you know, when you make a pattern, my wife used to do this sometimes. You'd make a pattern, sew a dress, you can make several out of the same pattern or even several different sizes and offer them for sale. Amen. She does extra things to bring in additional income into the home. Now, here's a note. I'm going to move on to verse 25 in a minute. But look at this thing. You might say this, well, now, preacher, I can't sew. I can't make clothing. But there are other things you can do to supplement your family's income from the home, such as baking, cooking, crafting, thrifting, babysitting, selling on eBay, not the kids, but other stuff. Amen. Amen. By the way, that's not to say that every wife has to work that way. I'll just give you this. There are times when the children are small and numerous that you ain't got time to sell stuff. Right? If you're going to keep the diapers changed and you're going to keep the house cleaned up and you're going to keep the meals made and you're going to take care of your children and your husband and your house, there's times you won't have time to do all that. But there will be times you do. There will be times when the children are grown. There will be times when the children are busy with other things. But by the way, especially if you're homeschooling those children, you ain't got time to do a lot of extra stuff if you're applying time to do that. Amen. Amen. Now, if somebody else is doing the teaching, you might have more time. I understand that. All right. But the idea here is not that you're gallivanting all over everywhere and doing all kinds of other. You're adding to your home is what he's talking about. Amen. Now, I'm certainly not advocating that the wife become a business person, working on a public job. Amen. I'm not advocating that she does something to take away from the safety of her home. By the way, she's safer at home than anywhere else. Amen. I'm not talking about thrusting her out into the dangerous business world. By the way, you know I believe this. Families are way better off surviving frugally on one income than they are having double incomes or multiple incomes and mama not in the home. Amen. Amen. But that does not mean that mama should grow lax or lazy or lenient either. Amen. All right, I just had to say that. Verse number 25. Here's the last verse for tonight. Strength and honor are her clothing. He's already said a whole lot about her clothing, but here's what he said. Best thing about her is not how fancy it is. It's not the fabric that it is, but it's the virtue that she has. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. It's talking about the clothing of the inner man. Amen. I believe this is exactly what Paul talks about, and he's talking to Timothy about how women are dressed in modest apparel. This is exactly what Peter's talking about when he talks about not with broided hair, costly array, and all that. Amen. He's not saying that women can't ever fix their hair, women can't ever wear jewelry. That's not what he's saying at all, but he's saying those things are not what she's to focus on. She's to focus on the inner man. And her clothing. What everybody notices about her is not the color, but the strength and the honor. Not the fabric, but the strength and the honor. Not the figure, but the strength and the honor of this woman's character. She's strong. That's the first word. Strength. I believe that means she has a strong faith. I believe that means she has strong family ties. Amen. Amen. Strong faith, strong family type. Every one of us know that there is an epidemic in our world today of women, and I'm not fussing at women, I'm just saying, there's an epidemic in our world today of women that do not have a strong family tie. They're not tied to the children, they're not tied to their husband. Matter of fact, they don't want to be tied down. They want to keep up with the Kardashians. Divorce and remarry. Divorce and remarry. Divorce and remarry. That's where they're going. That's not productive. That's not helpful. It's certainly not godly. Amen. This woman has a strong faith. She has strong family ties. Not only word strength, but honor. She has an honorable lifestyle. Amen. Everybody that knows her or hears about her recognizes the strength. We've been reading all this, and I'll guarantee you, you've thought many times before when you've read Proverbs 31, that's a strong woman. That's an honorable woman. That's the way it ought to be, by the way. Amen. He says, she shall rejoice in time to come. What's that mean? Well, that means she's laid up treasures for many years. Some of those treasures are memories. She'll be remembered for years to come. Amen. A lot of us, we have good memories of a grandmother. Our memories of our grandmother is not what color dress she wore. It's not how long the dress was. Although, in most cases, it would have been a dress, by the way. It would have been pants. In most cases of our memories. Right? And it would have been decent. Probably wouldn't have been fancy. Probably wouldn't have been elegant. Probably wouldn't have been silk or even scarlet. Right? But those are not what we remember her strength. Amen. We remember the honor of our grandparents. That's what this woman's going to be remembered. Now, let's see if I got that in my notes, because I don't want to get ahead of myself if I do. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to get ahead of it. Here's this woman. I'm going to notice again, verse number 25. Very first word. Strength. Although she is the weaker vessel, that doesn't mean she's a weakling. It just means he's stronger. She's strong and he's stronger. That's what we need in America. We need some strong mothers and even stronger fathers.
Amen.
Amen. She's the weaker vessel and yet she's strong. It doesn't mean that she's strong in certain areas or certain ways she's not, but she is strong in certain areas and strong in certain ways. I believe she should be strong in her values. She should be strong in her beliefs. She should be strong in her convictions. Amen. Melissa's grandmother got Alzheimer's. Both of her grandmothers did, but her grandmother, we called her Meemaw Johnson. Got Alzheimer's. And somebody had to sit with her before she wound up in the nursing home after she broke her hip and couldn't walk. But before that happened, she was able to stay at home. And they'd have a sitter sit with her in the day and somebody stay with her at night. And some of the kids, family, would have to stay with her over the weekend. She had a son that was not, he was divorced. And were they living together? I was thinking so. Him and this other woman were living together. And so it came the weekend, he comes to stay with his mama. And when it got down dark, his mama said, that woman's got to go. She ain't your wife. She ain't staying in this house. Now here's an old lady. What did it matter to her? I mean, couldn't she just give up? No, she had convictions. She knew what was right and it's going to be right. And she knew what was wrong and it's going to be wrong. Thank God for people like that. Strong in her values, strong in her beliefs, strong in her convictions. This woman should have an inner vigor and resolution of mind that sets her above those females that fritter here and there, never settling down to becoming a virtuous woman. Amen. There's a lot of young girls that'll never make a virtuous woman. They're too frivolous. Too frivolous. Too trivial. This woman's not frivolous, and she's not trivial. She's a force to be reckoned with in regard to her family and her convictions. I put it this way. She may appear soft and cuddly as a teddy bear to her friends and family, but she'll appear as ferocious as a grizzly bear to somebody coming after her children or her family. Amen. She's a strong woman, what it says here. She wears honor as a clothing. Nobody would mistake her as a frivolous, flirtatious, floozy of a woman. She's too honorable for that. Amen. Amen. She never acts or dresses in such a way as to draw that kind of suspicion. Rather, she acts and dresses in such a way as to wear honor as a clothing, it says. Amen. Virtuous Christianity is honorable. Motherhood is honorable. Being a good wife is honorable. He says, she shall rejoice in time to come. It's honorable. That's what it's talking about. Honorable. Although our modern society does not honor these things, yet they are still honored by God. Amen. Amen. I believe they're still intrinsically honorable or honored in the hearts of husbands and children and grandchildren. Godly society recognizes the virtue and the value of a good wife and a good mother. Amen. Amen. God honors such a woman. Every Christian woman ought to strive for the honor like this woman has. Every Christian, not just woman, every Christian ought to attempt to honor this kind of woman. Amen. Amen. Well, I got some thoughts running in my mind. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to go to my last point on this, last thought. This phrase, she shall rejoice in time to come. She's not going to always be a mother. There's going to be another stage in life. That next stage in life is being a grandmother. That's a place of honor. Grand. Even the name sounds honorable, don't it? Grandmother. After her children are grown and become productive adults, she is honored. She can rejoice in the fact that her children are not bums. Amen. Into the fact that her children are not hobos. In the fact that her children, she's raised virtuous daughters. She's raised virtuous sons. Amen. She can rejoice in the fact that she has at least done her best. She can't make them be virtuous, but she's done her best to teach them virtue and to show them virtue. Amen. And I could run that rabbit a long way. I talked to Brother Steve earlier about I've got a theme in my mind about a situation going on in our world. We've got little girls growing up not playing with baby dolls. They're playing with Barbie dolls. And that Barbie doll mentality is all about sexual beauty, physical beauty. And they can't let that physical beauty fade. They can't be a mama because it'll ruin their physical beauty. They can't have babies. And I said I wasn't going to get on it, but I'm there. Let's just say they can't have babies because it'll ruin their physical beauty. And so what do? They kill their babies. And then they start getting older. And they don't want to be a grandmother either. So even if they've had babies, they teach their babies not to have babies. And they kill the next generation. They try to obliterate the next generation so that they don't have to ever become old. There's nothing wrong with growing old. Amen. Amen. All right. That ain't in my notes, but it's free. That's just extra for coming out on a stormy night. Amen. She's going to rejoice. I believe it's talking about the times as a grandmother. Her children are grown into productive adults. Outward beauty will fade, but inward beauty only shows more beautifully. Amen. Let's read it one more time, that last phrase. And she shall rejoice in time to come. That may go on far beyond her grandmother days. That may talk about eternity. I think it does. I think it's reaching way on down the line. Amen. Where she has become honorable like the Bible. Peter talks about Sarah. You can be a daughter of Sarah. Right, that honored her husband and lived an honorable life. I'm going to stop right there tonight. I'm going to get them to come with a song. I hope I pointed out some things of primary importance in this virtuous woman's life that we can apply in our life. Not just ladies, but men too, but especially the ladies. Diligence, persistence, vigilance, faithfulness, character. Amen. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, don't read Cosmopolitan magazine. Don't read Vanity Fair magazine. Don't read Women's Day magazine. Don't read Harlequin romance. Don't keep up with the Kardashians. Don't get involved in this world and all their mentality. Don't get hooked on Hollywood. Stay in your Bible, and it'll give you a better thought life. That'll produce a more honorable life. That'll help you rejoice in times to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that we've tried to preach and exhort maybe a little bit from tonight. I thank you for this woman's example. I thank you for my wife, the example she's been to me and to my children and even to our church. I thank you, Lord, for my mother and my mother-in-law. I thank you for my grandmother and Melissa's grandmothers. I talked about those women of strength and commitment. Thank you, Lord. I pray, give us some young women that way. Let the elder women teach the younger women. Teach them not how to be fake, how to be phonies, how to be fashionable, but how to be virtuous for the glory of God. Help us in that matter, Lord, I pray. Help us to be what you want us to be and not just look for today's success, but down the road we can rejoice in time to come. For your glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.